thanks for listening to Man Behind the Machine. Obsoleto. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays. Obsoleto. Let's give these guys a call. We're gonna go shopping for some retro games.
Beep, beep, beep.
Okay, obsoleto.
Gamerhead.
Hi, what's entrance are you guys closest to?
I would say Macy's.
Macy's, and you're on lower level?
Yes.
Yeah, and then do you guys have Atari 2600 cartridges?
Yeah, you'd have to come and take a look through them.
Okay. What other cartridges for systems do you have?
Everything.
You know, I mean, which consoles?
Well, I mean, I have Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64, Atari, Intellivision, Dreamcast, Genesis.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
See you guys soon.
Yep.
Bye. Obsoleto. Are you excited to go?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you want to get some games? Games? Video games? Retro games?
Yeah.
Computers? Do you love games at Christmas?
I love video games.
Yeah.
I like video games.
Yeah, which ones?
Any kind.
We were playing Alien Storm and then Altered Beast yesterday. Yeah. For Man Behind the Machine, Clone 64, Dr. Obsoleto. We just got the Atari 2600 Game Station. Sweet.
Yeah.
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 Hey, bud.
Hey, Miss.
Oh, thank you. Merry Christmas
thank
to you.
Thank you so much for the gift.
Love it.
Oh,
wow. I was so overjoyed and surprised. And
over the moon.
I'm so grateful to have a great friend.
Yeah.
Like you, thank you so much. And
oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I had to wait till Christmas morning to open it.
Yeah, I was taking a chance. I didn't know if you were going to be getting one for yourself or
Christmas. Yeah, well, oh, it's close. Yeah, it's a...
And I'm like, no, we should get him one.
Oh, that's too generous. You guys are generous. You didn't have to do that. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah. It looks like a beautiful design. I haven't opened the box yet.
Okay.
So, I'm very, you know...
2600.
Yeah, reluctant to open these things. I'm just gonna look at the box for now. But it looks beautiful. I'm gonna hook it up to the 4K TV.
Nice.
And play
nice.
It. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
You guys are so sweet.
Something that your whole family can enjoy, you know?
Together, definitely.
Nice.
Yeah, and you know, it's got the 2600, the 54, and the 7800 games all on there.
Yeah, exactly. It's got all of them.
Atari 2600.
And I think you can add ROMs, right?
Can you? Oh, I don't know. I have to look it up. Yeah, can you hear me? Hello?
Hey, bud.
Sorry, I don't want to happen.
Cut off.
Yeah. You said you could add ROMs on there?
I think so.
Yeah?
You'll have to double check, but I thought you could. Double check on that.
Yeah, I was having problems running the 5200 emulator on the Raspberry Pi, so I'm excited to be able to play these. I can play 2600 and 7800 not by up to 5200. Sorry, 54. So that's exciting. Yeah, it looks like a beautiful design.
Yeah, they definitely have some Atari art.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Those will be some good graphics.
That's cool. Yeah, so I started getting into Dark Chambers, which is on there. It's kind of like, do you remember Gauntlet? Yes, it was like a dungeon crawler. You're going through a maze. This is Atari's answer to Gauntlet. And I recently found it. I never played Dark Chambers. I'm embarrassed to say, but I never had the 7800. I only had the 2600. My parents said, that's it. We're not going. We're not getting the other one. But so I started playing Dark Chambers recently. But that's on here. So that'd be cool to plug it into 4K. And then, and then it's their wireless choice sticks. Yeah, man. Thank you so much. I in a way, I feel like you should have it.
Oh, okay. You definitely are the Atari dinosaur, so.
Retro. Thank you. You guys know me the best. You know, like when people say, I don't know what to get you. Don't say that. You know what to get me. And I was just like, of all people, this is going to be an awesome gift.
Dr. Obsoleto.
Happy, so thank you. You know, and Merry Christmas to you guys. I said, wow, I'm really not treated good this year by Santa. So, yeah.
Awesome. Oh, well, thank you, Christmas.
It did, thank you, buddy. He said awesome. He wants to play it together.
He'll probably love those RGB lights on there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's gonna love it. Yeah. I'm excited to play it, you know?
Cool.
Because the other ones I've got HDMI on the Raspberry Pi, but like I said, it's limited. And then the, the rest of the Atari flashbacks are RCA cables, right? So, I mean, it's not like, you know, when you play it, it's not like, oh, well, it's a downgraded experience, but this is HDMI, so the quality should be crisper, you know?
Right.
So, that's exciting. Definitely. Yeah, I will.
In late 1975, sales of devices that made it possible for consumers to play Pong on home television sets were booming. At Atari Incorporated, which had first introduced Pong as an arcade game and had manufactured one of the most popular home versions of Pong, engineers began looking for the next arcade game to put in consumer hands, anticipating that people would grow tired of two paddles and a ball. They saw Jet Fighter and Tank, but instead of designing a custom chip for each game, as was done for Pong, they planned a system that would play both games, four-player Pong if anyone was interested, and possibly a few other, as yet unknown games. The system was to be based on a microprocessor. In a few months, Atari's designers in Grass Valley, California, had made a working prototype, and over the next year, designers from Grass Valley and from Sunnyvale, California, refined what was to be the Atari Video Computer System, VCS. It was released in 1977, and 6 years later ranks as one of the most successful microprocessor-based products ever built, with over 12 million sold at about $140 apiece. Success did not come without problems. Production problems in the first 2 years caused Atari losses, estimated near $25 million. But once these problems were solved and enough software was developed, the VCS took off. This article was first published as Design Case History, the Atari Video Computer System in the March 1983 issue of IEEE Spectrum. A PDF version of the original article, including photographs and technical diagrams, is available on IEEE's Blur. It is popular today, not because it does an admirable job of playing Jet Fighter and Tank, but because its flexible design also allows it to play chess and baseball, as well as Space Invaders, Pac-Man and many of the other arcade games that have been invented since the VCS came on the market. More than 200 different game cartridges, the read-only memories, ROMs, containing VCS software, are now on the market, manufactured by about 40 companies, and new games are constantly being developed. An estimated 120 million cartridges have been sold at prices from $12 to $35, and the demand is such that, in addition to buying more 6,502 microcomputers than anyone else in the world, Atari's purchases of ROMs for its various divisions is greater than that of all other companies in the world combined. Atari and other video game companies had been making microprocessor-based arcade games for some time before the VCS was developed, but the cost of then available processors, $100 or more each, made the idea of a home consumer product based on a microprocessor impractical. Then came Chuck Peddle and the 6502. Mr. Peddle, who had left Motorola for MOS technology after designing the MC6800 microprocessor, appeared at WESCON, the annual West Coast Electronics Show, in September 1975, offering to sell his new microprocessor by the barrel at $8 apiece. Of course, no one knew that he only had one barrel to his name, recalls Steve Meyer, co-founder of Cyan Engineering, Atari's private consulting company in Grass Valley, and now senior vice president for R&D at Atari. Mr. Meyer and Ron Milnor, his colleague at Cyan, went to see Mr. Peddle at WESCON and found that the 6502 matched precisely the minimum specifications that they had laid out some time before in a blue sky design for a programmable video game. The three went into the back of the MOS technology suite, Mr. Meyer recalls, and in an hour the deal was struck. It started a revolution in home video games. One more word of warning, though, the base system doesn't come with a second controller, even though a whole lot of Atari games are pretty explicitly designed to be better with two simultaneous players. If you don't have an extra 2600 joystick controller lying around, and really, why don't you? Atari will sell you a brand new one for $25. And while a Genesis controller will fit in the slot and work on original hardware, it won't work on the Atari 2600 Plus, for some reason. Unlike some other classic game console recreations, the Atari 2600 Plus doesn't come with any preloaded games. To use the system, you have to bring your own Atari 2600 cartridges or rely on the 10-inch-1 cart that comes packaged with the system. Switching between games means awkwardly fiddling with dip switches on the back of the cartridge, though. After you plug in a cartridge and hit the power button, a 5-second loading screen hangs around just long enough to be annoying before dumping you right into the game, a distinct downgrade from the instant boot up of original Atari 2600 hardware. The package doesn't make it clear what kind of internal hardware or emulation solution the Atari 2600 Plus is using to recreate the old circuit boards of an original unit. It doesn't really matter in the end, though. The recreation of classic Atari gameplay is flawless, with no signs of additional input lag, frame rate stuttering, or visual, audio artifacts to detract from the experience. Berserk running on the 2600 Plus, as seen on a 4K TV at 4:3 scale. 1. Berserk running on the 2600 Plus, as seen on a 4K TV at 4:3 scale. 2. Berserk running on original hardware, as seen on a 4K TV at 4:3 scale. 3. Berserk running on the 2600 Plus, as seen on a 4K TV at 16:9 scale. 4. Berserk running on original hardware, as seen on a 4K TV at 16:9 scale. 5. Berserk running on original hardware, as seen on a CRT TV. Whether those games hold up to modern scrutiny is a matter of opinion and likely depends on whether you are reliving rose-colored memories of your childhood here. As someone who grew up in the NES era, I've found my attempts to enjoy the Atari 2600 library in retrospect to be extremely hit or miss, with only a small handful of games that are tolerable to play for more than a few minutes. introducing my 9-year-old daughter to some of those games on the Atari 2600 Plus found more misses than hits, in part because the blocky, low-res graphics proved too hard to tolerate. We did get a few good games of surround going, though. At least the HDMI output also means those old Atari games can now look preternaturally sharp on the 2600 Plus. That's not an entirely good thing, though. Blowing up a 160,192 resolution image to a massive 4K display makes every pixel into a huge, conspicuous square block, and every diagonal line becomes an unsightly, jagged stair-step pattern. Some of that is just an inherent limitation of the ancient hardware being emulated here, of course. But those resolution limitations were less glaring on smaller CRT displays, where the gentle glow of the phosphor helped smooth out a lot of the harsh edges, as you can see in some of the screenshots included here. Mario Brothers running on the Atari 2600 Plus, as seen on a 4K TV at 4:3 scale. 1. Mario Brothers running on the Atari 2600 Plus, as seen on a 4K TV at 4:3 scale. 2. Mario Brothers running on original hardware, as seen on a 4K TV at 4:3 scale. 3. Mario Brothers running on the Atari 2600 Plus, as seen on a 4K TV at 16:9 scale. 4. Mario Brothers running on original hardware, as seen on a 4K TV at 16:9 scale. 5. Mario Brothers running on original hardware, as seen on a CRT TV. And unlike most other modern retro hardware re-releases, the Atari 2600 Plus doesn't offer anything in the way of image filters to try to re-add the blur to those harsh, blown-up HD pixels. The system's only visual customization option, in fact, is a physical switch on the back of the unit that flips between the original 4:3 aspect ratio and a modern 16:9 ratio that stretches to fill a modern display. Definitely switch this away from the 16:9 default as soon as possible, unless you like every game to look unnaturally bloated. And it's not just graphics customization. The Atari 2600 Plus is utterly lacking in the most basic options we've come to expect from a modern revamp of a classic console. There's no support for save states, for instance, much less the ability to rewind or pause a game at the system level, and especially important, omission on a system where most games didn't have a built-in pause option. You can't tune the sound for the specifics of your home theater setup or access on-screen versions of game manuals, either, an especially important omission for a system where numbered game settings can totally change the experience. Mr. Run and Jump running on the Atari 2600 Plus, as seen on a 4K TV at 4:3 scale. 1. Mr. Run and Jump running on the Atari 2600 Plus, as seen on a 4K TV at 4:3 scale. 2. Mr. Run and Jump running on original hardware, as seen on a 4K TV at 4:3 scale. 3. Mr. Run and Jump running on the Atari 2600 Plus, as seen on a 4K TV at 16:9 scale. 4. Mr. Run and Jump running on original hardware, as seen on a 4K TV at 16:9 scale. 5. Mr. Run and Jump running on the Atari 2600 Plus, as seen on a CRT TV. This utter lack of features can't help but be a letdown compared to something like the high-end analog line, which comes with preloaded, feature-packed system software and a design that encourages community expansion. There's no apparent official way to install new firmware on the 2600 Plus, though we're sure hackers will do their best. Even a cheaper retro cartridge unit like Retro USB's AVS includes interesting modern upgrades like optional graphics improvements, cheat code support, and online high score rankings. And that game's budget line of plug-and-play Atari Flashback consoles has also occasionally delved into upgrades like scanline emulation and wireless controllers over the years. Here, the only thing that really justifies the plus sign at the end of Atari 2600 Plus is an HDMI output. Thus, the Atari 2600 Plus is really only useful for retro gamers who have a very specific need to play authentic Atari 2600 cartridges with authentic Atari 2600 controllers on an HDTV. And even if that's what you're looking for, $130 might be a bit of a dear asking price for such a bare-bones system. Well,
you know, speaking of Christmas delights, you know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to take my box Commodore, I'm going to wrap it, I'm going to put it under the tree, and pretend that I'm opening it as brand new.
Yes.
I'm serious. I think I'm going to do it. You know, I've got a couple that are boxed. I've got a Commodore 64 original box. I've got a Commodore 128 still in the styrofoam. And a Commodore 16.
Nice.
So, which one? Maybe a couple.
Yeah, maybe a couple.
I know. Does that sound a little too nostalgic or...
No, hey, I think that's great.
Thanks.
Sometimes it's nice to relive it.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I even have an Atari flashback that I haven't opened. Those prices are going cray-cray.
Yeah?
Yes. They're going up to $200-$300. I saw one $350 the other day, the anniversary edition.
Jeez.
The 10, flashback 10.
That's crazy.
It's going up. The microprocessors go up. They're not depreciating, you know, just the CPUs and everything themselves, you know, are going up because of everything going on in the world and, you know, the fabrication needed to do it.
Yeah,
it's just crazy. So yeah, I'm excited that you're gonna get your wish. What are you gonna play?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I mean, there's a couple of PS5 exclusive games that I'm interested in trying. There's one called Returnal, which is a first person shooter, but a bizarre one. It's a single player.
Obsoleto.
It's a, I don't know, it's weird. It's hard to describe. It's sort of defined as a roguelike game, which is, well, if you're unfamiliar, where it plays much more like a classic video game would, where, you know, if you die, you're dead, and you go back to the beginning, and you try to beat the game again.
Oh, okay, cool.
And but as you play, like, things are a little different. So I wouldn't go, I don't think it's, like, procedurally generated or anything, but it's a, you know, you might have different enemies spawn, and you might have a different starting weapon, and the perks and, like, power-ups and stuff that you find are going to be different every time you go through. And so you're just kind of trying to get better at the game while also relying on a bit of the luck of the draw to, like, you know, give yourself the best build that you can to try to beat all the levels and win.
Commodore.
But it, I don't know, it seems like it does a good job of, like, integrating that gameplay into the story. Like you're stuck in some kind of time loop. Like, every time you die, you wake back up at the beginning, and your character is, like, trying to figure out why. It seems neat. It seems like a cool game. I've seen some gameplay of it. It looks good.
That's cool.
But there's a bunch of weird little indie games, too, that I'm excited to try that they were just a little... hang on one second.
Sure. Yeah, so the gameplay.
To be available on the... You know, the older generations. There's one called Viewfinder that I'm excited about. You, like, it's first person, not a shooter, you just kind of walk around, but you pick up you find photos, and when you look at them, it, like, sets the photo into the background of the game. Like, it just plops, and it becomes, like, a hallway into that photo, and it is really hard to describe, but it would be way too advanced to put onto, like, the PS4, because, I mean, you're essentially just, like, you can build the world around you with these photos, and
set hallways wherever you want. And, like, if you tilt it slightly and then set it, gravity will affect that room and, like, everything will slide. Like, yeah, in the direction that you tilted it. And, like, it's really bizarre. It looks super neat, though. I've never seen anything like it.
So, well, think about that. I mean, it's something kind of going back to the retro, but Dragon Slayer, we never saw anything when that came on 64 and the other systems and then arcade. Nobody had seen anything like that before. It's extremely difficult.
Yes.
Right?
That one was a quarter eater for sure.
Yeah. Do you remember Dragon's Lair?
Yep. It's a cool game. It's a weird game, but it's a cool game.
Yeah, but it's like, whoa, animation.
Yeah. It's like you're playing a movie.
Yeah.
Yep.
That always intrigued me when that played that on the 64 and then the arcade.
I was a little bit before my time of being a kid in the arcades, but I have been lucky enough to play one. They've got it at Starcade.
Oh, yeah?
So I actually played it recently. Hard game. Not easy to get very far in that game.
Yeah, you would think, well, these older games, they should be real easy, but they can be challenging, you know?
You not being able to beat it right away, so you can buy it again.
Like when E.T. gets stuck in the pit.
Yeah. Or, a lot of companies relied on you not being able to beat a game and you rented it. That's another one, where it's like, you weren't buying games, you were renting games. If you can't beat it in a week, you have to rent it again. So, that was just another example of, like, squeeze as much as they can out of one game. It's not so much like that anymore.
Right. Oh, I think
all the squeezing is optional.
Yeah.
Microtransactions and stuff.
Yeah, I think Asteroids was like the first arcade game to like rack up the most coins.
Oh, yeah?
I think it was Asteroids, and then Pac-Man came out, and they showed that they could be king. Yeah. So the Pac-Man franchise was born. But that's what I think in terms of arcades. I think...
Mm-hmm. I know Space Invaders was up there, too.
Right, Space Invaders, Asteroids. Yep, mm-hmm. Yeah, Space Invaders, actually. I think that's the one. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw there was an interesting, like, docuseries about... I can't remember if it was about video games or if it was just about toys in general, but... I learned some cool stuff watching that. It was cool. They talked to, like, the creator of Space Invaders. He had, like, a notebook with his doodles of, like, the ideas that he had for what he wanted, like, the aliens to look like. So it was really neat to, like, see concept art for Space Invaders. Like, obviously they couldn't make it look hardly anything like what he wanted it to, but because it was all blocky, but...
I think I saw that documentary, right?
It was pretty cool, yeah. I think it was on Netflix. It was like a series. I can't remember what it was called now to save my life, but... What was it? Was it Insert Coin? Or something? I can't remember. There was
something like that,
I remember a few came out around the pandemic that I watched. I feel like I learned the Space Invaders thing. Missile Command was a pretty popular one, too. But that was later.
Oh, yeah, that was popular on the arcade and Atari. Yeah,
that was the first one to get modded.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was just done by some college kids. They bought a Missile Command, and they put it in, like, the commons room of their dorms or something.
Yeah.
And it was racking in quarters, and they were stoked. And then over time, they were realizing that they were making less and less money, but people were still playing it all the time. And it dawned on them that people have gotten better at the game, and they play further and they play longer, so they aren't spending as much money.
Oh, yeah?
And so they were all computer guys or whatever, going to college for coding and stuff like that. And they made it harder. And they put this, like, modified version in, and it, the company caught wind, and there was this whole
eventually they were like, look, we won't sue you if you give us that technology, essentially. And I can't remember how the whole thing ended. They didn't, like, get in trouble or anything, but they might have gotten jobs. So, kind of one of those funny, like,
oh, really?
hacker turned, you know, computer whiz situation. It's a pretty interesting one.
Very interesting. Yeah.
Made it to the Gamer Head store to buy retro stuff, yeah. And Mr. Man's playing Dance Dance Revolution while I buy some Atari 2600 cartridges. Hello.
Yeah, nice.
Hi, I'm looking for some cartridges for Atari 2600.
Yeah, they're
going to
be over here.
Okay, thank you.
Over,
oh, thanks. Did you guys move by chance?
Yeah, and then we're moving again.
Where are you guys moving?
Just upstairs.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Wait, what? Okay, look what we got. Man, a lot of Atari cartridges. Wow.
Daddy, Daddy, can you pick me up? I want to get one.
Are all these Atari cartridges individually priced, or are they a basic?
They are, but I want to say they're probably closer to like four or five bucks a piece.
Four or five bucks?
Unless it says on it.
Okay.
Otherwise.
Okay. So. Thank you.
Yeah.
These are all the N64,
yeah.
Right? Left?
Yeah, we have left right
okay.
now.
Okay. And then I remember the owner was selling some stuff. Are these everything that we see is available to sell?
That's the owner right behind you. So it's kind of up to him of what he wants to sell behind me.
Oh, like the Nintendo glove?
Oh, yeah, I don't want to sell that.
Yeah,
it's like part of our Holy Trinity.
Yeah,
right.
A lot of us
We've had that thing for years. That's I actually ordered that on eBay, like three or 4 years ago.
Okay, I thought I'd ask.
We just didn't have one. Nobody would bring it.
Is there anything else you
Is this his
do?
Coat?
Yeah, oh yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Is there anything else?
Yeah, can I see this cartridge, the Mirage, please?
Miracle?
What is that?
It's like a piano game.
Piano teaching system? Okay. Okay, great.
I did all the other ones besides that one.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to come back here. I got a few things for you. I'm gonna think about that. I have a question. It looks like there were some ColecoVision cartridges included in there. Are some of these ColecoVision that were in with the Atari?
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah, this one is Coleco easily.
Okay.
This one is,
and
they kind of say it on them.
Well, some of them. Is that Coleco too?
No. Or let me just type them in.
Sure.
I can look them all up on price charting.
Okay, thanks. And if they're not listed, what much are the prices on these?
I have to look them up.
Oh,
this one I can't find at all. Okay, let me just see. One broke 2000.
Aiden? Hey, stay where I can see you, please. Please, stay where I can see you. Play over there.
Yeah, this is ColecoVision.
Oh.
This one goes This one's like $9.99, and I'll give you deals on all of them. This is Atari.
Atari.
I think Kubert's Atari.
Atari. Atari.
You don't want Ataris?
I do. That's what I was looking for.
Okay.
But you said $9 for each?
Yeah, I'd give you a deal on them. You have a ColecoVision too?
Yeah, I do.
I'll tell you what, man. 25 for them all.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah. I think this one was like $5 a piece.
With the late, this was $1 here.
That was a garage sale sticker from back in the day.
Oh.
I'll tell you what. $20 for a month.
$20? Yeah. Okay. Okay, sounds good. Yeah, it's a deal. Thank you. Are you going to carry any Commodore 64 stuff ever?
If they bring it in, yes. Okay. We buy, sell, and trade everything. So
yeah.
We don't say no to anything video.
I was just at a store in Phoenix, and they had floppies they were selling. Yeah.
We have some floppies.
Which is cool. Yeah?
Yeah. You want to look at them? You want to look at them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have my floppies display? Or?
They're right over here.
Oh, okay.
I'll show you. I'll just put this on hold, Atari. But before I ring you up, let's just...
Oh, sure. And mostly Commodore 6.
This is a television.
In television? Okay. Oh, He-Man.
Okay. In television.
Yeah, I don't have an Intellivision floppy drive. I have a Commodore and Atari floppy drive, but I would really love these. Yeah.
Wow, that looks awesome. Right. Sweet.
Those floppies.
Mark short on money in this. Sorry, excellent. Oh, wow. Voice synthesis.
That's just crazy the stuff we have in here.
Oh, my God.
You know that?
Tron. Oh my God.
Yes, that is a cool box.
Wow. Oh my God.
We've got a ColecoVision. ColecoVision can't play a television, can it?
I don't know. No. I don't think so. I'm not sure.
Okay, I just gonna look at this, okay?
Yeah, go for it.
It's such a great time at this place. What a great time. Part of my birthday present. We got Frogger for Atari 2600. Space Chase for Atari 2600. Let's see the year on this. Let's see. 1981. Okay. And then we got Encounter at L5 for Atari 2600. 1982. Which we're going to get back to on that right here. We got Qbert for Atari 2600. Very cool. Moonsweeper, Atari 2600. Now, this is ColecoVision. War Room. Some, like, war simulation game. Cool. Okay. And, then we've got Mr. Do for ColecoVision and Adam. Super excited about this. 1983, ColecoVision, obviously, creating Mr. Do at the time and then licensing it to arcade games, which we had access to at Vintage Computer Festival Midwest every year. They bring in a Mr. Do upright arcade. So I'm excited about this. And then the owner was so nice. He gave me an Intellivision voice synthesis cartridge. It talks, add voices to Intellivision, and it's the Tron Solar Sailor edition. This is so cool. Based on Tron, the futuristic adventure motion picture from Walt Disney Productions, it talks, save the Solar Sailor, score points by shooting the grid bugs, tanks, and recognizers. Inside the MCP, Master Control Program, you've reached Phase 2, a nightmare numbers game from the futuristic world of Tron. Your opponent is the Tireless Master Control Program, MCP, right? The Solar Sailor will be attacked relentlessly on its way to the MCP Center and the decoding phase. In both phases, you'll hear voices instructing, even taunting you to give your all. Is very cool, man. This is 1982. In the box, with the software and the cartridge. I don't even know this gentleman, and he saw the look in my eyes with this, and he said, Merry Christmas, it's for free. That was too generous of him. That was very nice.
So Merry Christmas to everybody. We're gonna come back in this obsoleto. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Thank you for all the birthday wishes. Everybody, I love you guys so much. That's the beauty when you go to these stores, you never know what you're gonna get. Looking for some Atari 2600 games, came upon ColecoVision and Television games. Pretty cool. Got to do some research on a few of these, but they're scores, definitely. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year from Man Behind the Machine, Dr. Obsoleto. What are your last minute finds for this holiday season? Your Christmas shop and send in your comments or voicemail. Thanks for listening.
Nintendo 64 cartridge.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't get it, and I totally regretted it.
Everybody says that.
Yeah, man. Seriously.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes.
Merry Christmas to everybody. What a wild year it's been. I don't know. I think every time I come up with an idea for an episode, I come up with another one. There's a backlog. So thank you for all for being patient. I try to publish them as soon as I can, all things being equal, you know. So thank you for listening this year, and please subscribe. It's more important than ever. If you could please let people know, let them know that it's on every platform. You can subscribe, find all the topics that you enjoy with technology, retro, everything that's new, old, hot, mostly old, obsolete, and bringing you speakers like Howard Scott Warshaw this year, RJ McCall, Michael Tomchick. The list goes on and on. Upcoming, Jerry Ellsworth is going to be on. And then we've got January, Bill Hurd, Commodore Engineer Extraordinaire. And we got other goodies that I'm going to announce. I'm not going to let it all out now. Nah, nah, nah. Santa's watching if you're naughty or nice. So subscribe to Man Behind the Machine. Throw the dice. You're nice. I'm nice. Christmas morning. Yep. And awesome. Beautiful gifts. A lot of Pokemon.
Yeah, that's it.
The battle deck and the new Atari.
Let me see it, Aiden.
Game Station Pro. Okay. I wasn't expecting this. We're very dear friend. 200 plus video games, Atari, 2600, 5200, 7800. Awesome. Love it. Unbelievable. Yeah, what's cool about this is this has the 2600, the 5200, and the 7800 together. And the 7800, the 5200, I can't play on my Raspberry Pi for some reason. I have error messages, so I basically don't have access to all those games. So let's see what this is. They've got Air Sea Battle, Adventure, Asteroids, Boxing, Breakout, Canyon Bomber, Centipede, Circus Atari, Combat, Crystal Castles, very cool, Dark Chambers, super cool, Demons of Diamonds, Dodge 'em, Drag Race, Fast Eddie, Frog Pond, Gravatar, Haunted House, Human Cannonball, iRobot, Lunar Lander, Major Havoc, which is super cool right there. Let's see. Millipede, one of my favorites. Miniature Golf. Missile Command, Night Driver, Off the Wall, Outlaw, Pong, Video Olympics, Quadrun, Real Sports Baseball, Real Sports Basketball, Real Sports Football, Roadrunner, Skydiver, Solaris, Space War, very cool, Super Breakout, very cool, Sword Quest, Earthworld, Sword Quest, Fireworld, Sword Quest, Waterworld, Star Raiders, Steeplechase, Tempest, very cool, Video Pinball, Warlords, Wizard, and Yar's Revenge. Look at this. See this guy? Look, he's playing with his son. Who's more excited? Is he excited or is he excited? He's excited. We're going to play this together. And
does
everything.
Does it come with all those games you said? Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Plug it into HDMI. I want to plug it into there. Yeah. Sweet. And of course, this is coming on the heels of the Atari 2600 Plus that everybody's so excited about, but I'm excited about this GameStation Pro. See, it's got 200 plus video games built in. Console connects with HDMI to TV, 2.4 gigahertz wireless joysticks. That's cool. With built-in paddles, game save options, dynamic RGB lights. Yeah, so apparently the list that I just read, it's not all of the games. They only put the legendary games on here. So there's many more, it says. Obsoleto, Merry Christmas.
Game over, the tech that died in 2023. Another year, another crop of tech products and services that were unplugged, powered down, and erased from the web. Pour one out for the tech that had its last hurrah in the last 12 months. Chloe Albanesius. By Chloe Albanesius. Updated the 20th of December 2023. Headstones with four brands on them, credit, Shutterstock /Ruth Black, Snap Inc., Netflix, Twitter, Amazon. Nothing lasts forever, especially in Silicon Valley. Products, services, and CEOs fizzle out regularly, many without any fanfare. Other endings catch us by surprise. 10 years later, the demise of Google Reader still stings. Time marches on and corporate priorities shift. Here are the products and services that took a final bow in 2023, starting with the most headline-grabbing shutdowns and then a month-by-month breakdown. RIP Twitter, long live X. Elon Musk attends an event during the Vivatech Technology Startups and Innovation Fair. Photo by Joel Sajay /AFP via Getty Images. Elon Musk has been at the helm of Twitter for more than a year now, and perhaps his most notable move thus far is killing a name with global brand recognition in favor of a letter more commonly associated with adult content. The transition started in April when Twitter was merged into X Corporation, Musk's umbrella company. Several months later, in the middle of the night, Musk announced that soon we shall bid adieu to the Twitter brand and, gradually, all the birds. It wasn't immediately clear if he was being serious. Musk has a history of posting spur-of-the-moment tweets that would give even the most seasoned of legal and comms teams a coronary. But he was indeed serious this time, and in a matter of weeks, the bird logo was replaced with a black and white X, tweets were renamed posts, and 15-plus years of brand building went up in smoke. We're currently in that limbo state where every news story about the company refers to it as Twitter /X or X, previously Twitter. And while the core service lives on, it's certainly not the same pre-Musk Twitter. The company's API crackdown meant the end of third-party clients like Twitterific. Meanwhile, the demise of legacy checkmark accounts and the ability to purchase verification has made it difficult to know whether an account is legitimate. Musk's free speech stance means some of the internet's most vile characters are once again on our timelines. And by telling his top advertisers to fuck off after they jumped ship over his anti-Semitic tweets, Musk isn't exactly helping the company pay off its massive debts. Let the chips fall where they may, Musk said recently. Check back next year to see how that pans out. Dead air, Clubhouse clones fade away. In the early days of the pandemic, when Zoom happy hours and sourdough starters proliferated, Clubhouse burst onto the scene with an app that facilitated audio-only chats between groups large and small. Tech giants quickly churned out their own Clubhouse clones, but these party-line throwbacks were not long for this world. Facebook was the first to go, ditching its live audio rooms in December 2022, but 2023 also saw the end of Reddit Talk, Spotify Live, and Amazon's live radio DJ AMP app. X-Spaces is still around, though presidential hopefuls may not want to rely on it for campaign launches. Advertising content from Walmart. Gift it or get it, Holiday Tech Gifts Edition. Walmart has tons of tech gifts this holiday season, but would you rather gift them or get them for yourself? Netflix's DVD business. After 25 years, Netflix's DVD business said goodbye this year, as the company formally shifted all its attention to streaming. The final DVDs went out on in September, and it let existing members hang on to up to 10 DVDs for old-time sake. The move came as brick-and-mortar retailers scaled back their DVD inventories. In October, Best Buy said it would end DVD and Blu-ray disc sales in 2024. You can still grab them online at various retailers, and data suggests people aren't quite ready to fully abandon DVDs, driven in part by the nostalgia and collectability of physical media, according to analyst firm Circana. Holding onto your favorites in physical form is probably a good idea for movie buffs. While it may seem like any movie under the sun is available on a streaming service these days, some are yanking popular selections from their rotation to avoid hefty licensing fees. Netflix password sharing. Netflix password sharing offer. Credit, Netflix. As promised, Netflix kicked off a password sharing crackdown this year. The company rolled out the option to add two extra people to your account, but at $7.99 per person per month, it likely makes more sense for moochers to get their own subscription to Netflix's $6.99 per month at supported tier. And that's exactly what Netflix has in mind as it eyes ways to boost subscriber numbers and revenue. There do appear to be some password sharing workarounds, mostly for those who don't use a smart TV to watch Netflix. But Netflix said in October that people should expect it to complete the crackdown in the next two quarters. January. Snap Camera app. This Snapchat app, which famously replaced a lawyer's visage with that of a kitten, took off during the pandemic as we all tried to have fun with what was then a novel concept, Zoom meetings. These days, video chats are a mundane part of office life, and no one wants to see you as a potato. Snap agreed and got rid of the app in January. Altspace VR. This social VR platform, which lets you attend live concerts, yoga sessions, and play games with friends, first announced plans to shut down in 2017, but was saved by Microsoft. This year, however, Redmond shifted its resources and Altspace VR got the axe. February. Amazon Smile logo. Credit, Amazon. Amazon Smile. Launched in 2013, Amazon Smile saw Amazon donate 0.5% of the price of eligible purchases made through smile.amazon.com to charity, with consumers able to choose from over a million charitable organizations to support. On the 20th of February, however, the program shut down because it has not grown to create the impact that we had originally hoped, Amazon המשחק נגמר. הטכנולוגיה שמתה בשנת 2023. שנה נוספת, יבול נוסף של מוצרים ושירותים טכנולוגיים שנתקו, הופעלו ונמחקו מהאינטרנט. יוצקים אחד עבור טק כי היה הידד האחרון שלה האחרון 12 חודשים. קלואיה לבנציוס. מאת קלואיה לבנציוס. עדכון 20 בדצמבר 2023. מצבות עם 4 מותגים עליהן. קרדיט, שוטרסטוק חלקי רוט בלק, סנאפ אינק, נטפליקס, טוויטר, אמזון. שום דבר לא נמשך לנצח, במיוחד בעמק הסיליקון. מוצרים, שירותים, מנח להתפוגג באופן קבוע, רבים ללא כל תרועה. סיומות אחרות תופסות אותנו בהפתעה. 10 שנים מאוחר יותר, מותו של גוגל רידר עדיין עוקץ. הזמן צועד וסדרי העדיפויות של החברה משתנים. להלן המוצרים והשירותים שלקחו קשת אחרונה בשנת 2023, החל מההפסקות הכי תופסות כותרות ולאחר מכן פירוט של חודש אחר חודש. ריפ טוויטר, יחי איקס. אילון מסק משתתף באירוע במהלך יריד הסטארט-אפים והחדשנות הטכנולוגיים של ויבטק. צילום, גימל וואל סגת חלקי סוכנות הידיעות הצרפתית דרך גטה אימג'י סמך. אילון מסק עומד בראש הטוויטר כבר יותר משנה, ואולי המהלך הבולט ביותר שלו עד כה הוא הרג שם עם הכרה עולמית במותג לטובת מכתב הקשור יותר לתוכן למבוגרים. המעבר החל באפריל כאשר טוויטר התמזגה עם אקסקורפ, חברת המטריות של מסק. כמה חודשים לאחר מכן, באמצע הלילה, הודיע מסק כי בקרוב נפרדנו מהמותג טוויטר, ובהדרגה, מכל הציפורים, לא היה ברור מיד אם הוא רציני, למסק יש היסטוריה של פרסום ציוצים של הרגע שיעניקו אפילו לצוותים המשפטיים והתקשורת המנוסים ביותר כלילית. אבל הוא אכן היה רציני הפעם, ותוך מספר שבועות הוחלף לוגו הציפור ב-X שחור לבן, ציוצים יקראו מחדש פוסטים, ו-15 ועוד שנות בניית מותג עלו באשן. אנחנו כרגע במצב למבו שבו כל סיפור חדשותי על החברה מתייחס אליו כטוויטר חלקי X או X, בעבר טוויטר, ובעוד שירות הליבה חי. זה בהחלט לא אותו טוויטר טרום מוסק. הביקוי של החברה היה הסוף של לקוחות צד שלישי כמו טוויטריפיק. בינתיים, פטירתם של חשבונות סימני ביקורת מדור קודם, והיכולת לרכוש שימות הקשור על הידיעה עם חשבון לגיטימי. עמדת חופש הביטוי של מסק פירושה שחלק מהדמויות הנתאבות ביותר באינטרנט שוב נמצאות בלוחות הזמנים שלנו. ועל ידי כך שהוא אומר למפרסמים המובילים שלו להזדיין, אחרי שהם קפצו על הציוצים האנטישמיים שלו, מעסק לא בדיוק עוזר לחברה לשלם את חובותיה העצומים. תנו לצ'ייפס ליפול לכאן שהם עשויים, אמר מסק לאחרונה. בדוק שוב בשנה הבאה כדי לראות איך זה מסתדר. אוויר מת, שיבוטים של מועדון מתפוגדים. בימים הראשונים של המגפה, כאשר זום שעות מאושרות ומתחילים מחמצת התפשטו, קלאבהאוס פרץ למקום עם אפליקציה שהקלה על צדיק, עתים שמאיים בלבד בין קבוצות גדולות וקטנות.
Game over, la tecnologia morta nel 2023. Un altro anno, un altro raccolto di prodotti e servizi tecnologici che sono stati scollegati, spenti e cancellati dal web. Versane 1 per la tecnologia che ha avuto il suo ultimo urrà negli ultimi 12 mesi. Chloe Albanesio. Di Chloe Albanesius. Aggiornato il 20 dicembre 2023. Lapidi con 4 marchi su di loro. Credito, Shutterstock / Root Black, Snap Inch, Netflix, Twitter, Amazon. Niente dura per sempre, soprattutto nella Silicon Valley. Prodotti, servizi e CEO svaniscono regolarmente, molti senza alcuna fanfara. Altri finali ci colgono di sorpresa. 10 anni dopo, la scomparsa di Google Reader punge ancora. Il tempo avanza e le priorità aziendali cambiano. Ecco i prodotti e i servizi che hanno preso un inchino finale nel 2023, iniziando con gli arresti più importanti e poi una ripartizione mese per mese. RIP Twitter, lunga vita decimo? Elon Musk partecipa a un evento durante la fiera VivaTech Technology Startups and Innovation. Foto di Joel Saget / AFP via Getty Images. Elon Musk è stato al timone di Twitter per più di un anno, e forse la sua mossa più notevole finora sta uccidendo un nome col riconoscimento globale del marchio a favore di una lettera più comunemente associata a contenuti per adulti. La transizione è iniziata ad aprile quando Twitter è stata fusa in X Corp, la società ombrello di Musk. Diversi mesi dopo, nel cuore della notte, Musk ha annunciato che presto daremo addio al marchio Twitter e, gradualmente, a tutti gli uccelli. Non era immediatamente chiaro se fosse serio. Musk ha una storia di postare tweet spur of the moment che darebbe anche il più esperto dei team legali e di comunicazione una coronaria. Ma era davvero serio questa volta, e nel giro di poche settimane, il logo Bird è stato sostituito con una X in bianco e nero. I tweet sono stati rinominati post e oltre 15 anni di costruzione del marchio sono andati in fumo. Siamo attualmente in quello stato limbo in cui ogni notizia sulla società si riferisce adesso come Twitter barra X o X, in precedenza Twitter. E mentre il servizio di base continua a vivere, non è certamente lo stesso Twitter pre-Musk. La repressione delle api della società ha significato la fine di client di terze parti come Twitterific. Nel frattempo, la scomparsa degli account legacy checkmark e la possibilità di acquistare la verifica ha reso difficile sapere se un account è legittimo. La posizione di libertà di parola di Musk significa che alcuni dei personaggi più vili di internet sono ancora una volta nelle nostre linee temporali. E dicendo ai suoi migliori inserzionisti di fanculo, dopo aver saltato la nave sui suoi tweet antisemiti, Musk non sta esattamente aiutando l'azienda a pagare i suoi enormi debiti. Lascia che i chip cadano dove possono, ha detto Musk di recente. Controlla l'anno prossimo per vedere come funziona. Deder, Clubhouse clones fade away. Nei primi giorni della pandemia, quando gli happy hour di Zoom e gli antipasti a lievitazione naturale proliferavano, Clubhouse irrompeva sulla scena con un'app che facilitava le chat solo audio tra gruppi grandi e piccoli. I giganti della tecnologia hanno rapidamente sfornato i loro Clubhouse clones, ma questi ritorni di fiamma della linea del partito non erano lunghi per questo mondo. Facebook è stato il primo ad andarsene, abbandonando le sue sale audio dal vivo nel dicembre 2022, ma il 2023 ha visto anche la fine di Reddit Talk, Spotify Live e l'app Live Radio DJ Amp di Amazon. X Spaces è ancora in giro, anche se le speranze presidenziali potrebbero non voler fare affidamento su di esso per i lanci della campagna.
Hardware Awards 2023, all the year's best gaming tech. Another year done, another crop of gadgets and gizmos to pit against each other in the Games Radar Plus Hardware Awards. 2023 was a fantastic year for PC and console alike, with a new suite of RTX 40 series graphics cards hitting the shelves and new console entries from both Microsoft and Sony. In between all that, though, we've also experienced some of the best headsets, controllers, keyboards, VR headsets, and chairs among all the other gaming tech to grace the shelves in the last 12 months. Between new innovations and further refinements of classic design, 2023 has brought some excellent new devices to the market. We've had our hands on all of it, now with the tough job of narrowing the playing field down to a handful of winners. We've got 15 categories this year, spanning gaming PCs and laptops all the way to board games and VR. The winner in each category will be a device that has truly pushed the limits of this year's tech while remaining influential in its own sphere. We've handpicked these winners after rigorous testing lasting well beyond our initial review period, so you know they can go the distance. Sponsored links. Play this game for 1 minute and see why everyone is addicted. Raid Shadow Legends. Best Gaming PC Origin Chronos V3. Origin Chronos V3. Image Credit, Future. The Origin Chronos V3 takes one of the most innovative PC cases released this year and turns it into a powerhouse pre-built capable of high-end action. Recommended videos for you. The Corsair Airflow 2000D Airflow is the first ever ITX, small form factor, chassis that's capable of fitting a full-size AIO cooler inside of it. Not only that, but it can also squeeze the biggest GPUs in it as well.
Dr. Salito. Dr. Absolito. About Twitter X, is he deliberately bringing X down? I don't know. I can't even log in anymore. Aw, obsoleto.
Why is there only one left?
Obsoleto.
The glitched out Raspberry Pi. Raspberry Pi. Weekend. With some new episodes coming up with Dr. Claw, both on the Raspberry Pi side and riffs. Thank you for listening to Man Behind the Machine. We're going to come back with some You Break It, I Fix It and Recycling, as well as the Frankenstein
Junior
Building. Take a look at that. That's going to come out in a new episode. I'm really excited about this project. I'm going to detail. I don't want to talk too much about it, but remember to tune in for the Atari 2600 or the Frankenstein Jr. Yeah, baby. You're listening to Man Behind the Machine. Got some tech support from Papa Smurf today, and we're able to resolve an issue, so... We wait and we wait and we wait until the computer's done. Absolito. So here we go, Dr. Absolito going into the store and trying to find some obsolete technology. I'm not kidding you. So I'm going to put the recording down, come back, and let you know what I found. Obsolete. I'm really hoping that we find something obsolete, retro, outdated, you know, film from the 70s or, you know, cassettes or VHS tapes or synthesizers or audio recording equipment or vintage video technology, computer technology, retro, any kind of accessories, storage devices, please. I hope we find it. Absolito, send in your messages. Thank you for those who sent their voicemails and comments. Wouldn't be doing this without you. You're listening to Man Behind the Machine.
Who could be firing at us?
Who even knows we're here?
The Autobots.
Impossible.
They're the only ones.
Soundwave, send Laserbeak to investigate.
Laserbeak, prepare for flight. Course heading northeast.
No, got it?
Let's burn rubber. What is that thing up there?
I don't...
Seven days till Christmas. Merry Christmas to everybody from Man Behind the Machine, Dr. Obsoleto, Clone 64, Johnny Matrix, Lord Member, everybody. Detroit on Man Behind the Machine. Thanks you. Oh, the sounds of shopping carts. Santa's gonna make it to town. For Christmas is my Commodore 64. Run, run, Rudolph. Santa's gonna make it to town. Obsoleto.
Oh, the weather outside is bright.
Do, do, do,
the fire
do,
is so light. And since we know a place to go.
TGIF, thank you for listening to Man Behind the Machine and Dr. Obsoleto. Obsoleto. Beautiful. pulse wave modulation. Obsoleto.
All I want for Christmas is my Commodore 64, VIC 20, and everything the pet can bring, and Commodore sings. Obsoleto. Christmas is my Commodore 64, VIC 20 pet.